You're listening to Connecting Faith, and as we like to do on a regular basis, we like to focus in on how we can more effectively share our faith. You know, always being ready to give an answer for the hope that we have doesn't just happen without preparation and intention. And how we can explain why we believe in God and follow Jesus can sometimes be daunting. So we've asked our helper to come by once again. Rick Mattson's apologetic specialist for University Christian Fellowship. He's served as a staff worker for over 30 years there, and he's author of Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. And Rick, as we've talked over the past few sessions, we've talked about a variety of issues, but today I wanted to focus on praying for our non-Christian friends, because that really is one of the crucial parts of sharing Christ, isn't it? That it starts there.
Exactly. If we're going to be in the lives of our friends who don't know Christ as their Savior, we need to be praying our way in there. I would say praying in community, prayer meetings at church and family and friends and so forth, gathering. We need to think about those who don't yet know Christ, so praying for them. But I would say even praying in our daily devotions for our friends and family members who need Jesus. And if God is going to use us in their lives, we need to see the Lord moving ahead of us. So he's the one who's really beckoning us into these relationships, into these conversations. And I guess before we talked about some detective work, detecting what the Lord is doing in their lives. But prayer is a key aspect of this.
Well, we probably, and maybe we've touched on it before too, but probably even before we maybe have a friend or someone we're sharing with, we're praying for the opportunity, right?
So, exactly, yeah. You know, I fly around the country a lot to college campuses and so forth, and I usually pray this prayer when I walk on the airplane. Lord, use me today somehow on this airplane. I don't even know how. Maybe it's with the staff on the airplane. Maybe it's someone I'm sitting next to. Maybe it's someone who needs a hand with their luggage or whatever. What conversation might be take place here? And if I'm open to that and I'm willing to take just the small amount of risk, a lot of times I'll get into those conversations or I'll get into those situations with people where I can help out, and something of the gospel message will inevitably go out.
Yeah. It could be really in everyday situations and circumstances, is what you're saying, right? I mean, just for you, it's travel a lot. For us, it might be just, you know, well, who am I going to meet today on the way to work or at work? Those kinds of things.
Yeah. The Lord has divine appointments for us. I love that little phrase. I learned that 40 years ago in InterVarsity and other places, that the left hand of the Lord has that person in mind for me, and the right hand of the Lord has got a hold of me.
Yeah.
And his two hands are coming together, and that's the divine appointment that takes place.
So we want to talk about praying for non-Christian friends. So we have some people that we've developed a relationship with, and we want to take this to the next step, realize that they don't have a personal faith. So how do we pray? What does that look like?
I think there are some specific ways that we can be praying to the Lord, some different categories, and Scripture leads us in this. One way is to pray that God would soften their heart, and you see some precedent for this in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse 19. It says, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh." So here we see the Lord as an acting agent in removing a heart of stone and giving a heart of flesh. Even though the context is a little bit different, I think the principle is still the same, that's one of the ways, anyway, that the Lord moves.
So we're asking that God's going to just prepare the way, in essence, right?
Yes.
Soften the heart, like softening the soil.
Exactly. Right? And he can and does do that work. Or we might pray that he would be working on their minds. Romans 12 is written to Christians, but we see that this is the way that the Lord can work. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I think it's fair to pray that the Lord would be working to transform the mind of a person, that they might be more receptive to the gospel message.
Or even, I think, as we talked, we were talking about those five sort of stages or phases, in that just having an open mind, right? That's an important step, that you'd be willing to consider the gospel or reality, the claims of Christ.
Yeah, those five stages, just to review. First one is just to trust a Christian, just to be in a trusting relationship. Second one is that they would just be curious. A third one is open to change. And that's the one you were just mentioning there, Neil. And then fourthly, that they would be a true seeker. Yeah. They've identified themselves as a true seeker of God. And the fifth one is that they do cross the line. And those are what we call the five thresholds of postmodern conversion. But being open to change and asking the Lord to open their hearts, that they would be open, because I don't think you and I can just manufacture that. I don't know about you. I'm not that good. I'm not. I know I'm a persuasive person in some ways, but this is supernatural work, and we need to count on the Lord sending His Holy Spirit to do it.
So we're going to pray for their heart, pray for their mind, a couple other things as well.
Yeah, I think praying for their will to follow God's ways. Ezekiel 36:27, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Here we see the Lord willing and able to move people to be following in His ways. Again, a different context. This is ancient Israel, but it's the same Lord, and it's the same Lord who can move in the lives, and in this case, in the wills of our friends. The volition, it's called in philosophy. Skip ahead to the New Testament along those same lines, Neil. We can pray that God would draw them to His Son. John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. So again, we see the active agent is God here in opening their hearts, minds, wills, drawing them to embrace in faith the Son of God.
And I know, I think we've talked before, even not everyone comes to faith at the same time, the same way. So if we truly are expressing God's love, we care about them, we pray for their well-being, right?
Oh, exactly. And something from the Gospels, again, in Matthew, this is a famous verse. Come to me, all you who are heavy and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So we're offering our friends the opportunity to have divine rest in their lives, not just temporary rest as the world defines it, which is often leisure, whatever, but really finding rest in the gentleness and goodness of a relationship with God. We can be praying that for our friends, and I believe that's a very loving prayer.
They get to experience the common grace of God. Right?
Exactly, right. And when we're experiencing it ourselves, and when we take time to enter into His rest, as the book of Hebrews says, it's way more easy for us to pray about it and to offer that to other people.
Well, I know that, while we pray that God sort of, goes ahead of us, goes before us, because this is His work, it's not all up to us either, right? That's one other area we can be praying about.
So. Yeah, definitely. And I think praying for our own motivations, Lord, would you help me to be a caring, loving, open person who's willing to, as Bill Hybel says, walk across the room and have a conversation with someone that we feel the Lord is prompting us toward.
Yeah. Praying for their heart, for their mind, for their will, for their well-being. And, again, that God would continue to do His work, that he's the master designer, the master planner.
Yeah. And I think we can pray that He would send influence. You might remember the story in Acts 8 where Philip and the eunuch meet up together on the road. And it was the Lord sending Philip into the eunuch's life as a gospel influence to share the word of truth, to explain the book of Isaiah passage that he was reading to him. And that's how the eunuch came to faith. And it's a really dramatic passage.
Yeah. God longs for us to interact with Him, to pray, to seek His face, and He has promised right to do His work if we'll simply join Him.
Right. Yeah. And just being faithful in prayer over the long haul. I have a friend, his name is John, and I've been praying for him for, I would say, at least 4 decades. And he's getting up in years. I visited him recently, and he said to me, I've been praying. And I'm going, okay, say that again. I might have wax in my ears or something. Say that again. Yeah, I've been praying, and I have a special place in my home where that takes place. I go, well, really? Like, I tried not to act too surprised, but I sort of was surprised because that had never come out from his lips before. And he said, yeah, I've just been thinking about this and thinking about God. And, you know, I'm not going to church or anything, but I feel like I'm kind of connecting with God these days. And, I mean, that's an answer to prayer. And I think persistence in prayer for myself and from other people, it isn't just me. There's a community that have been praying for him for a long time, and we're starting to see the fruits of that. And I think that's a word for all of us to just hang in there and to be persistent, to be encouraged that the Lord is hearing us, and that eventually something will probably happen.
Talking about praying for our non-Christian friends with Rick Mattson today. Rick's an apologetics specialist, University Christian Fellowship. He serves on college and university campuses, speaks across the country. He's serving both McAllister College and St. Olaf College in Minnesota, and has written a wonderful book called Faith is Like Skydiving and Other Memorable Images for Dialogue with Seekers and Skeptics. And you can connect with him at rickmattsonoutreach.com.